Right, folks, nothing but eagles on this show tonight. Nothing but eagles. All the turkeys got pardoned last week by the turkey himself. Eagles are flying tonight only on the Outrage Patriots radio show. Folks, I was getting overwhelmed with Yahoo Instant Messenger requests for questions. I probably got 35 or 40 questions in about a 10-minute period there. I wish I could. I just want you to know I would have asked more questions if I could. But I went ahead and chose to hit him with that question on H.R. 1955 because that was one I was also concerned about. And I'm going to tell you how I feel about this. I spent a whole weekend with this man, and he truly, I feel like the man truly does believe in the Constitution. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not an expert on this, but my gut feeling is these people get briefed by their staff. If they didn't write the legislation, they get briefed on it, and they get the basics. There is no way humanly possible. Ron Paul's been a big champion of making the legislators read every bill page for page before they vote on it, and I think that's a good idea. Some folks say things wouldn't get done. But I think it'd be a good idea, and that way we probably wouldn't have so much idiotic legislation coming down the pike. But this House Resolution 1955 dealt with the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007, and it was a resolution. It hasn't been it hasn't become law. What it was basically supposed to do. When I spoke to Pat Buchanan's sister, Babe Buchanan, that's Tancredo's campaign manager, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I called and asked her about it. She said she would check into it, and when she called me back, it was a real hurried phone call, and she stated that it was a commission that was being set up to study homegrown terrorism, and meaning that, you know, we have such large cultures now of folks from other countries that are not assimilating, that they want to be able to stay on top of this. But I agree. I've read the wording of that, and you know, when it goes to final, if it were to go to a final statute phase and be changed more by the Senate, and then go back to I believe they call it a a joint committee between the House and the Senate where they work out their differences. That's when everybody's nads are going to be on the chopping block. And, you know, I said it to him right there. If it starts coming out of the Senate and it's looking like it is a American pro-constitutionalist or American patriot movement hang 'em high bill, I want everybody out there that's listening that has any concerns about any portion of that, you know, email it, fax it here. We'll fax them up to the congressman's office, or you're welcome to do so yourself. But he said here tonight that if it becomes a point where he feels like it's going to crack down on Americans, if it is truly supposed to be addressed or aimed at addressing homegrown radical Islamic terrorism, homegrown radical Reconquista, La Raza Mecca type terrorism, hey, that's fine. But as long as it's not aimed at constitutionalist and, patriots. Now, you got some idiots out here that are, you know, growing 18 acres of pot and building pipe bombs in their backyard, then I can't help you. But, you know, if it's being aimed at Americans, I truly believe the guy would get up and get loud and get vocal about it. He's been a staunch advocate of protecting America so long from invaders. I just don't see him getting in bed with folks that want to let us have it. But don't get me wrong, I'm not an expert on this, but until the man proves me wrong, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's keep our eye on H.R. 1955. Let's see what it does through the Senate. If it starts coming out and it's starting to look nasty, like something Ted Kennedy would write, let me know. We'll launch full-scale war on it, and we'll see where Tancredo, we'll see where Hunter, we'll see where Paul, we'll see where Giuliani, Thompson, Hillary, we'll see where all of them ride. But I'll promise you, my gut feeling tells me the folks like Hunter and Paul and Tancredo will be on our side, and there'll be some of them riding the fence and just rubbing on their scar again, riding the top of that fence, and then there'll be some over on the Marxist-leaning side. But folks, we'll take calls. Sorry, I didn't have much time for the interview. He was in a hurry, and we did some IM questions. Most of those questions came from the Yahoo Messenger, so thanks, everybody, for the questions tonight. So the call-in number is 1-800-433-1429. You're listening to the Outraged Patriots Radio Show. I'm your host, Dan Howard. We're on the American Voice Radio Network. If you want to call in and raise hell about illegal immigration, 1-800-433-1429. We've got a caller, Charles. Are you on the line?
Yeah, hi, Dan.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the interview, and that just reaffirms my view that Tom Tancredo is a great, great patriotic American, really standing up for what needs to be stood up for, and he is really a good guy. And hopefully he'll do reasonably well in Iowa and New Hampshire, and we'll just see what happens from there.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you know, I threw it out. I believe that was your question you sent me about Huckabee.
Right.
And I couldn't agree with you more. That Huckabee's getting the biggest, you know, pass on this illegal immigration. It just chaps me. But really, he came back, Tancredo came back with the comment that, you know, it's not just Huckabee. He felt like it was, you know, a good majority of them down there that are all trying to get on the, you know, the anybody's dog that will hunt wagon, the kibbles and bits wagon, you know, on the illegal immigration, where, you know, folks like Tom or the bulldog, the illegal immigration bulldog going down through there, and you got folks like Giuliani and Romney and Huckabee trying to bounce off his back like the little chihuahua.
Of course, we have all of them now saying we need to secure the border. I mean, that's a mantra. All of them repeat that. But in reality, as you well know, because you've had this on your website, that Huckabee's position, he wanted to give driver's licenses to illegal aliens, wanted to provide them with in-state tuition. So he's probably gone further when he really exercised some power, governor of Arkansas, than anyone other than Giuliani. Giuliani wanted to establish New York City and did establish New York City is a sanctuary city, so you could make the case that those two are absolutely the worst, and they're the worst today on the issue, because I was reading an interview with Huckabee, and he still hints that he basically would like to give, he won't call it amnesty, but he would like to give amnesty to illegal aliens. So he's still a terrible candidate. We really need to alert people to what's going on with that man.
But you're right. At Mike Huckabee, he will not call it amnesty, folks, but he wants pathway to citizenship for anybody already north of the Mexico border inside this country. He wants them to have a way, and that is all it is another Trojan horse built by Ted Kennedy but loaded by Huckabee, and when you open the tailgate on that Trojan horse, amnesty rolls out. It's all manure. That's of the amnesty brand is exactly what it is.
Yeah, I went over to the bookstore last night, and I'm glad you mentioned this, and I picked up Pat Buchanan's book, and I leafed through it. It's Day of Reckoning, and it just came out, and they had it at the bookstore.
Did you get to pick that up, you say?
I got it at Barnes & Noble last night. They had 20 copies of it.
Well, I guarantee you they're gone. That book is making the rounds, buddy.
Yeah, and they had about 20 copies. And I also watched Pat while your show was on. I was going back and forth. He was on Hannity and Combs. That was the first show he appeared on. And I'll tell you, both you and I really like Tom Tancredo, and I really like Pat Buchanan, because you talk about a person that was in the forefront of alerting the American people to the immigration crisis, the threat from the South, and it was certainly Pat Buchanan. I remember when he ran for president in 1996, I was really enthusiastic for him. He came to Tulsa and I heard him speak, and in his book he really lets the illegal aliens, and in fact the whole problem with immigration facing this society, he doesn't mince any words that this is the main security threat to the United States, is the invasion of illegal aliens. And he also talks, as Tom Tancredo did, about the problem with legal immigration too, but millions of people coming to the United States, third world people, people who are not assimilating, don't care about the United States of America. He gives two good examples in his book. We played Mexico in Los Angeles in soccer a few years ago, and many of the fans were U.S. Hispanics, and they showed up at the game. And who did they root for? They didn't root for the United States of America. They rooted for Mexico.
You got it.
Hooted derisively at the U.S. flag. One burned the U.S. flag. That shows the commitment of these people is not to the United States of America. It's to Mexico. And then you and I talked about this, Dan. I think it was at the Miss Universe pageant in Mexico City not too long ago. Miss USA was down there. She was competing, and she happened to slip and fall on her behind.
Oh, yeah.
So what did the Mexicans do? They hooted. They laughed. They showed no sense of being gentlemanly people. See, again, to them, there's the Yankees. They're the evil people from the North. They hate us. They detest us. And my reply to them is, why in the world would they want to be in a country which they hate so much and which does not want them increasingly to be here?
Buddy, it all boils back down to balkanization. And I'll tell you, we've got two wars going on, really. You know, we've got this imminent war in the illegal immigration with all these Reconquista-oriented folks that think they want to take back the motherland of Mexico. You know, they've got a professor out here, a college professor out here in California, that's openly raising hell, condoning the overthrow of the southwestern states of the United States of America in the Reconquista movement to take back the stolen lands of and occupied lands of Mexico that have been taken over by the gringos, as he puts it. And, you know, that is our imminent crisis. But like Tancredo got at tonight, you know, that war doesn't concern me as much as, you know, you start letting a bunch of radical Islamic jihad warriors come across that border dressing up like they're Mexicans or you know, Latinos, and get in here, the you know, they're going to be after everybody. And I'm going to tell you right now, what gets me is these Mexican drug cartels are in bed with these Muslim terrorists, Charles. But do you think for one second that if Al-Qaeda had a chance to blow up a nuke bomb in San Diego or L.A. and fry about 15, 20 million Hispanics, they wouldn't take it and run with it? They'll blow them up just as soon as they will me and you. We're all infidels to those people.
Yeah, but
you know?
I think that's Tancredo's point and my point also. We have millions of Hispanics now in the United States, and I'm not applying this blanketly to all of them, but increasingly they are so disenchanted with the United States, they detest the United States so much, they have no sense of real identity here in this country and allegiance to this country. I don't really count on many of them as being very useful allies in any threat to the United States of America. They view their primary allegiance to a foreign country, and that is Mexico, not the United States of America.
You got it, bud. You got it.
Well, I wanted to mention a couple other things to you that I thought you might find to be of interest. The Buchanan book, buy the Buchanan book. It's a great book. Pat Buchanan's very educational. He's right on trade. I think he's right on foreign policy, America not becoming an empire. And did you see what happened? This was a person who was right at the top of our traitors list, what he did today, Trent Lott. Trent Lott's a U.S. senator from Mississippi. At one time, he was considered a good conservative Republican. Then he voted as bad as anyone could vote on the amnesty bill. He was right up there with Ted Kennedy and John McCain and George Bush and so on, and supporting
Lindsey
Graham and supporting that idiotic legislation. So what he has done today, he's going to resign the end of December, and he's got 4 years left in his term. And you say, why is he resigning, period? And why is he resigning at the end of December? Because new legislation, lobbying legislation, kicks in on January 1st, so he would not be able to lobby for 2 years after leaving the Senate after January 1st. And if he leaves December 31st, then he only has to wait 1 year to go to work as a lobbyist. And I'll tell you exactly what's going on with that traitorous man. What he has done is, the reason that he's pimped for big business and the illegal alien and the pro-immigration crowd is he wants to get out of the Senate and then go to work for big business and rake in millions of dollars and to establish credibility with these people. That's the main reason why he voted for amnesty and voted for pro-immigration legislation, which I know runs contrary to the people in Mississippi as it does the people of Oklahoma. So there's, you see, there's this tremendous underlying thing going on.
I'll tell you right now what it is. He sold his soul to big business, the big multinationalist, unconstitutional big business that wants to screw the American workers over, those kind of businesses that want to suck all these illegals up here and put Americans out of work. Well, he got his ass shot down with Captain Teddy, Lindsey Grahamnesty, Amnesty John, and Jorge Bush. And, you know, I think he sees the writing on the wall that he would not get reelected in 4 years from now in Mississippi. He's stepped all over his political capital down there. He has none. So I think he thought, okay, boys, I went to the wall for you, but, you know, I'm screwed in 4 years from now. So you're going to flush my retirement now over the next 4 years. I'm going to step out, and you all are going to pay me back. We're going to do some lobbying. I'll get you some good somewhere, but you're fixing to line my pockets now because I gave up my political career going to the wall for you.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I think you're right, bud.
One more interesting thing, Dan, and I heard you commenting on this, and I've got it up on my screen here, and that's about Randy Terrell. And we really like Randy Terrell and the son of 1804, how he's really going to toughen things up even further in the state of Oklahoma, how he's going on the offensive in terms of making English the official language, state funding to train law enforcement agents, seize assets such as vehicles used to harbor or transport illegal aliens, and school districts reporting how many illegal aliens are around. So what does the world do? This shows you how the mainstream media, how biased, what lapdogs they are. When they ran all the articles, which they've run, whining and complaining, oh, House Bill 1804, look at the poor little Hispanic children. Look at the poor Hispanic mothers and fathers. Look at all the repercussions, the Catholic Church won't be able to go to church, all the terrible things. They never included any of those biased, obnoxious stories. Any person from our camp, they never gave any one of us an opportunity to reply to those people. And yet I've got this story on the screen in the nasty Tulsa World, and then about three paragraphs down, everything that Randy Terrell says, they come up with some person I'd never even heard of, David Blatt, and we can imagine where he's coming from, the public policy director for the Community Action Project of Tulsa County. In other words, he's paid to represent and pander to poor people.
Yeah.
Poor people, especially Hispanics, and they give him everything that Randy Terrell then says. They give him an opportunity to repudiate that. But yet these Hispanic so-called ministers, race hustlers, Al Sharptons and so on around here, they never gave anyone an opportunity to reply to these people. That just shows you again, you and I've talked about this, the role of the mainstream media, especially newspapers. 95% of them are against us. Again, they are completely beholden to big business interests, cheap labor interests, multicultural interests, and so on and so forth. And this shows you, again, our newspaper, if you can call it a newspaper, the Tulsa World, how obnoxious and how biased the Tulsa World is.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the majority of it lies up there in the editorial department. When you got guys like Jones and some of those, they're not leaning left, but they're laying on their left side, and they're running that show. And so there's, I just don't, I don't know how they continue to sell newspapers, especially how they're going to if they keep up this deal, because the Oklahoma people are they're fed up of being called racist They're fed up with being called bigots and, you know, xenophobes and elitists. It all boils down to, you know, a man's home is his castle. This state is our home, and we're not going to have, you know, a bunch of lawless hooligans running through here. And I'll qualify that to say that I know that some of these illegal aliens that have come up here, other than crossing the border, haven't broken our laws, but a good majority of them have. But they cost Oklahomans and their future by taxing their tax dollars now. And they're taxing taxing our tax funds, our coffers, and, you know, that is there for our families, our citizens, and I will never apologize for it. Charles, I appreciate the tip on the Huckabee question tonight, and, boy, you're always right on.
Well, I appreciate that, Dan. If you want to get on to some other callers, that's fine, okay?
Well, okay, I appreciate it, and be sure to call back in, bud.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right, folks. Again, the call-in line is 1-800-433-1429. If you want to talk illegal immigration, or if you want to reflect on Tom Tancredo's interview or any other issues that you feel like are rearing their ugly head towards the survival of the American dream, such as the North American Union, pardoning of the Border Patrol agents, Ramos and Compion, feel free to pick up that phone and give us a call. It's 1-800-433-1429. 1-800-433-1429. Interesting. Okay, got another caller here. Caller, are you with us?
Yes. Hi.
How you doing?
Good. My name is Brenda. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. And being that you had Tom Tancredo on, I just wanted to let you know and the listeners know that just as they did with Ron Paul, there is a nationwide effort on December 1st for everyone to go in and make a donation to Tom's campaign.
Okay, that's on December 1st?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Basically, because if Tom does not make it as the front runner, if it wasn't for Tom, this issue would not have been addressed by any of those candidates. Anytime Tom speaks in Washington, every time he speaks during the debates, he is speaking for every single one of us, and we have to support him. And for his website address, for anybody that does not know, is www.teamtancredo.org.
Yeah, you know what? I appreciate you doing that. I was proud to see that, you know, Paul had so much success with that record-breaking donations that came in one day. What was it, 4.2 or 4.3 million? And
that's
so
right, yeah.
I appreciate you bringing that information on, Brenda. That is, you know, I'm going to tell you, folks, none of these politicians out here are going to get up and, you know, bat 1,000 with anybody all the time. They're just, you know, there's no way we're humans. They are not going to, we're always going to disagree on some things. But like I was telling, you know, a Marine that was talking to me earlier tonight, one thing I can tell you, though, is if this country ever really gets to the point where we're having, where it had to go to a true war to defend this country, folks like Ron Paul, Tom Tancredo, Duncan Hunter, folks like that are going to be on our side of the line, and we're all going to be aiming at the same enemies. And, you know, that man he's worn himself out with this campaign. I guarantee you he's put in a lot of stressful hours, and he's taken a lot of heat, Brenda, a lot of heat, getting up whenever it wasn't cool to talk illegal immigration.
Oh, I agree. And like I said, if it wasn't for the fact that he is part of those debates, none of those presidential candidates would have even addressed this issue.
When he was in town back in September, he always said that, you know, yeah, I'm on the debates. I'm always the guy out there, the bookend, you know, I'm the guy out there on the end. Well, I said, you know what? I said, they've got you out there on the end, but I said, Tom, it's because guys like you and Ron Paul that they suck on the end. You are the guys that are holding them upright from falling over. You're making them stand up. And,
I agree.
Brenda, that's December 1st, folks. Brenda, I appreciate the call. We've got a break coming up.
Okay,
can you remind the viewers and give them the
site address again as well, please?
December 1st. Will do. TeamTancredo.org. Thank you very much, Brenda.
Thanks.
Folks, you're listening to the Outrage Patriots Radio Show. Don't go away. We got more to talk about.
Many patriots who listen to alternative radio are unaware a history of patriot radio exists in a series of books called Shortwave Wars. Shortwave Wars tells the story of the Genesis Network and how it was founded using stolen equipment. The misdeeds of Alex Jones, Butch Paw, Bill Brumbaugh, and other hosts are examined. As is John Statmiller of Republic Radio. How many know there have been three Republic networks? What about Heritage, Truth Radio, or Christian Media? What really happened to Bill Cooper or Jeff Baker and Amerinet when he partnered with host Steve Quayle? It's all in the three volumes of Shortwave Wars. The Shortwave Wars series is $15 postpaid, and American Voice has it. To receive Shortwave Wars, order online at theamericanvoice.com or call 541-826-9050. Shortwave Wars, the truth about Patriot Radio.
At Swain Transport, we understand that time is money. That's why we have 24/7 on-call service to accommodate your shipment. And rest assured, your shipments are always transported in a professional manner by certified drivers on time, every time. Friendly customer service, competitive rates, and a name you can trust. That's Swain Transport, a full-service transportation company, certified minority carrier, and we are committed to always provide you, our valued customer, with the best our industry has to offer. Visit us on the web at SwainTransport.com. That's SwainTransport.com or call us at 918-447-6406. That's 918-447-6406.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Folks, Outrage Patriots Radio Show Night. You got it. Monday night, every Monday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. The American Voice Radio Network. That's www.theamericanvoice.com. I'm Dan Howard. I'm your host. We're back to taking calls. The call-in line, folks, is 1-800-433-1429. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hi, Dan. How are you? This is Rick calling from Long Island, New York.
Oh, yeah. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, we've traded a couple of emails and a couple of things here. First of all, I want to continue to congratulate you on having a rep like Randy Terrell. At this rate, you're definitely giving me a state to escape to, I think, in the very near future.
You know, I had a phone call from California like that last week.
Yeah, it's nice to know that, you know, somebody somewhere has got their head in the game. And I want to thank you also for having Tom Tancredo on. Not only, you know, is he on top of this whole issue and knows exactly what's going on, it's just really nice and refreshing to hear, you know, a politician not have any fear when it comes to speaking about God and country in the same sentence. It's really kind of refreshing to not hear somebody try to pander and, like you said, get the splinters because they're on the fence so much.
Yeah, one thing about it, from what involvement I've had with him, the guy seems to pretty much throw it out there, and I know no one bats, like I was saying earlier, no one bats 1,000 with everybody all the time, but the man, you know, there's just he and two or three others that they're sure doing a much better job than anybody I've seen in decades when it comes to speaking out for the American people.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just wanted to touch on one point. One of your last callers had spoken about the media and their complicity in this whole illegal alien front movement. And I can tell you for a fact, because I have a close relative here that works at one of the big three papers in New York, and not only is there an edict to not even use the word illegal alien in any story, the edict is also hands-off.
Yeah.
So that is very much a concern. It's not a coincidence. It's not guilt by omission. Well, it is guilt by omission, but it's definitely planned. This is definitely a planned thing. There is definitely an effort afoot to shape the way people think and the way people look at this issue through the media, without a doubt.
Oh, but it's sickening because, the thing, the argument I always give folks is, do you even know what the difference between, an illegal immigrant and an illegal alien is? You know, it's simple. An illegal immigrant came here legally, but it's time for him to go. He overstayed his limits. We know who he is. An illegal alien swam through the river, crawled through barbed wire, you know, rode in the back of an 18-wheeler or floated over here in a boat to get in this country, and he did not have any authorization to do so when he got here. And you got the media out here in mass, carte blanche, you know, ignoring the word illegal alien. Or, I mean, 98%. When I put stories on our website a lot of times, Rick, I change it. I get the sick of seeing the word. I leave illegal immigrant in there every now and then, so that when people type illegal immigrant into Google, my website has a chance of popping up. But I, for the most part, I use the correct government terminology, the legal terminology, and it is, if they came here illegally, they're an illegal alien. If they came here legally but have refused to leave or didn't leave on time, they're an illegal immigrant. But it doesn't matter, they're all, you know, worthless to this country if they're here illegally, in my opinion. But if it's an alien, I'm going to call them an alien because, you know, our government has no clue who an alien is. At least an illegal immigrant, we have a file, we have documentation, you know, we have some kind of clue who that individual is. But you're saying that the media up there is basically has a hands-off to all writers, you know, we're not even going to deal with the subject or that terminology, is that right?
No, the terminology is undocumented immigrant, which
yeah.
is such a farce, because if I leave the house without my wallet, I'm undocumented.
Yeah.
I mean, if I leave without my license, I am therefore undocumented. These people aren't undocumented. They have documents in their home country. They're illegal freaking aliens.
You got it. And let me tell you something, folks.
It can't soft pedal at.
Hey, it's not just you know, the majority of them are coming from Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Latin American countries like that. But they're coming in through Canada nowadays, too. I've been picking up articles where we got Germans and Russians, you know, coming in. I had a guy call in last week, I believe, or the week before, from Atlanta, Georgia. And he said his apartment complex has been overrun, Rick, with nothing but undocumented Russians, and none of them speak English. And he says they have no desire to speak English. You know, tell me how in the hell a bunch of illegal alien Russians are getting in this country. They're coming across the north border, too, bud, I promise you.
Oh, sure. Every port of entry we have is a sieve. And you know what? At this point, I can't blame the Russians or the Chinese or the Asians because they look at this country and go, suckers.
Yeah.
You know, you might as well run in and get all the freebies, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's an article from Reuters today, and it's in Yahoo News. And the statement is that illegal Latino immigrants do not cause a drag on U.S. healthcare system, as some critics have contended. Now, I scrolled a little bit further down in the story, and the findings are from Alexander Ortega and his colleagues. So I'm really going to believe that this is a legit, and it was a survey of California residents, including 1,317 undocumented Mexicans. So therefore, it's definitely a good survey, and I would absolutely trust the results of that.
Well, God. I tell you, you know, I think I read in the paper, didn't you give me the story here about 3 or 4 months ago where the fella ran over his buddy drunk and drug him for 3/4 of a mile and nearly killed him up there?
He absolutely did, and he
and didn't
got
they just
very light jail time.
Didn't they give him some jail time here a while back?
They gave him some jail time, but it's not going to be very much. And on top of that, the guy that he ran over, drunk, and dragged in his wheel well for a mile and a half and then dislodged him and left him by the side of the road to die, that guy has now had multiple skin grafts and all kinds of hospital procedures that is getting paid for by guess who? Me and all the other suckers that live here in what I commonly refer to as Screw York.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good. I'll have to remember that one. Kind of like Up Chuck Schumer.
Yep. And yet we have this pea-brained, fraudulent governor who couldn't wait to give them all driver's licenses. Let's face it, voter fraud. That's what he wanted them to have licenses for.
Yeah,
you want them to have licenses for voter fraud. Not to mention, you know, there was another insidious thing in there that somebody else pointed out that I didn't catch the first time around, is that if he had gotten through with all of this and given all of these people licenses, let's face it, they're criminals for the sheer fact that they stepped across the border illegally. So therefore, every act that they commit, to me, is fruit of the poison tree. Every act you commit after that is now a criminal act. But if he had gotten them licenses, that's all they would have needed to start purchasing guns in New York State. Which, of course, would have caused, I'm sure, a violent crime spike, which would have given the anti-gun nut jobs out here every wedge they would need to further erode our Second Amendment rights out here, which are on tenuous ground as it is.
Yeah. I tell you, there's nothing good that comes from giving illegal aliens driver's licenses. You're right. It opens the door for them to easily commit fraud and get a handgun. Well, let's say, hey, they figure out they're not legal, you know, months or two later. They're long gone.
Absolutely.
Second of all, and more dangerously, in my opinion, than the gun issue, is you give them a driver's license, buddy, I don't care what state you're in, the majority of these old elderly folks that are running these polls, they see a driver's license, they're going to let you vote. It is
absolutely.
It is a
I can tell you here in New York,
vote.
We just did a voting, and I walked in, and the first thing I did was try to produce my driver's license. They didn't want to see it. Oh, just sign here. Oh, great. I love all the high security I'm getting here. It's absolutely laughable, and this is a state, unfortunately, Dan, that never met an illegal alien that they didn't absolutely love.
Yeah.
I live out here, you know, on the east end of the island, which is a lot of farms. And let's face it, farmers, hey, they love the illegal labor. They absolutely adore it, and they don't want anything to upset their little apple cart. So trying to get any kind of action out here similar to what you've had done there is going to be pretty much next to impossible, which is why I'm left with the only choice I have, which is to leave.
Well, I tell you what, bud, you are welcome in Oklahoma.
Well, I'm going to keep that in mind because, as I said, I have to go somewhere. God knows I cannot stay here for very much longer because we're getting surrounded by them. And you talk about being overrun. I mean, we have a town here called Farmingville. It's a lost town. It's so bad that some of the residents tried to actually secede from the town and start a new town with a different name so that their property value would stop tanking. And yet we have a president who insists on standing up there and trying to continue to sell us the war in Iraq by saying, well, we got to fight them over there so we don't fight them over here.
Yeah.
So you cannot square that for me anymore, that we go to war and you tell me how in danger we are and you leave the southern border open. To me, that is akin of me waking up at night and hearing a noise at my front door, and I step out of my front door with my 12-gauge and I leave my back sliding door open. That doesn't make any sense to me. There's nothing he can say that squares that for me. Nothing.
Well, buddy, I tell you what.
It's an absolute fraud.
It's an absolute fraud, and I tell you right now, the day of the Internet may be something good. I used to worry about what's it going to bring to our children, but I tell you what it might bring is it might bring the saving of this country, because it's finally allowing. Buddy, I tell you right now, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have stood a chance, Rick. This Internet has opened the doors for patriots to communicate in this country about good and bad things, both, that are coming down the pike at each other. And it gives us time to dodge this element of surprise should Congress or illegals try to pull one over on us.
Oh, you're right. If not for the Internet, there's no way we would have made the gains that we've made in the last year, and certainly not since the summertime. We never would have been able to stop these last three amnesty attempts. We would have been steamrolled. It would have been over. So it's, you know, you're right. It is a double-edged sword, but the sword cuts both ways, and more often than not, you know, it has certainly stepped up to help, you know, to help us defeat this. And just, there were just days, you know, you get up and you just say, how much longer do I have to engage in this fight before I see some tangible results? You know, some days you feel like things are going well and that we're slowly turning this ship of state around, and then there are days you wake up and you go, you know what, it's lost. We can't save this. This is a mess.
Well, I tell you what, we're close. We are close there. If in the next few, the next few months and years, the American people just really start exponentially communicating this with their fellow citizens and just demanding that they listen. And you know, the more we get loud, the more people are going to start listening, because where there's smoke, there's fire, and where there's more smoke, there's more fire. And sometimes it feeds, you know how fire can sometimes feed itself with airflow.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what it's going to take. And This presidential election next year, Rick, I really think it's going to be the biggest enema that the United States ever seen. I have no clue where the power is going to lie when it's over with, and I'm to the point now I don't care, because I'm fed up with Democrats and most of the Republicans alike. But there's going to be a water bag the size of Texas that's going to flow through a pipe the size of the NAFTA superhighway up into the annals of Washington, D.C. come November of 2008, and there's going to be a bunch of debris floating away when that election's over with. I think you're going to see some serious incumbent outgoing.
I think you're right. Well, you know, thankfully we're losing, just through attrition, we're losing a lot of these crap Republicans like Trent Lott. I mean, this man was an absolute disaster. I mean, people forget now. They don't pay too much attention, but they forget what a disaster he was as Speaker of the House. I mean, this guy let the Democrats roll him over constantly.
But buddy,
when he was the Speaker,
he was Clinton's boy. That's what he was. In the last 2 years, I think Clinton was more conservative than Trent Lott in the last 2 years of the Clinton administration.
Probably. See, the thing about Bill Clinton that I won't say I admire, but I do have a little bit more respect for, and this is the only thing that I can give the man, is that Clinton was not a leader, not by any stretch of the imagination. He was definitely a poll watcher and a poll taker, and that's how he governed. However, you know, by that same token, I'm willing to bet that if Dick Morris had walked into his office and said, Mr. President, 80% of the American people are absolutely at your throat to secure the southern border and to knock this crap off, I would like to think we'd actually have had a much better chance at getting something done with him than this New World Order, North American Union shill in sheep's clothing we've got now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen this much hubris in one man in my entire life. This whole I'm the decider nonsense is I've just had enough of it. I'm full to the brim, and I voted for this jackass twice, and I feel like a fool.
Buddy, I'm with you. I'm in the same boat, but you know what? You're not a fool. I'll tell you right now, you're not a fool. You picked what you thought was the best choice, and I'll tell you right now, I still can't see myself having ever voted for John Kerry. No.
Yeah, we're back to that whole, the lesser of two evils. You know, the lesser of two evils is still evil.
You know what? I'm to the point now that here's what I'm about to point for. Probably, it's probably not in line with the Constitution. I'd have to read up on the electoral, but, they need to throw four or five parties in there, have an election, and sort it down, to the top three, have another election, and sort it down to the top two, and then have an election. That way, if you get somebody like Ron Paul that gets in there, anyone that splits the vote up to where you actually got somebody like Hillary coming in third, you got somebody else that can get up and take a run at somebody like Giuliani or Romney if they get in there.
Oh, God, Giuliani in there is just, that's enough. That's Hillary with a pair of pants, really. I mean, that's really all he is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a man that presided over a sanctuary city and now is consistently trying to run away from that position, and he can't. He just can't do it. It is what it is. He was and still is the mayor of Sanctuary City because New York is overloaded, and again, it's all spilled over here into this state. And it creates the situation that it creates between just the danger you have on the streets with these guys. I mean, we have, where I am, I'm controlled by, literally, even though I'm in Suffolk County, I'm answerable, like tax-wise and everything, and police-wise, to the town of Riverhead. The town of Riverhead is completely tagged now with MS-13 gang stickers. I mean, they've spray-painted everywhere. So I know they're here. And it's just a matter of time before it starts now with the home invasions and the killings, when it starts to get to a much higher level. And I really want to see what their answer is going to be for it when it starts to happen. I'm sure it won't be just to curb the gang problem or to throw out the illegals. I'm sure it'll be some kind of ridiculous kooky law on law-abiding citizens. I'm sure that's where we're going.
Well, buddy, Rick, I appreciate your call. I got one more caller here. I'm going to try to squeak in before the show ends.
Okay, Dan, thanks very much. Good talking to you.
Rick, it's good hearing from you. And keep me posted on what's going on up there, and we'll do the same down here, bud.
Okay, we'll do.
You bet. Next caller, John from Wisconsin.
Good evening, Mr. Howard.
How you doing, Mr. Martin?
Great. First question, was your grandfather E.B. Howard?
No. No, he was R.W. Howard.
Okay. I had somebody who asked me that, so I thought I'd ask it right away because he's listening.
Oh, you say E.V.?
E.V.
No, let's see here. Let me straighten that out there. That was my great-grandfather. Grandfather was E.O. Howard, Earl Orrin Howard from Western Oklahoma.
Was he a preacher?
No, my dad was, but not my grandfather. He was pretty good at hills and dams and horse trading.
Okay.
But he's a good guy. I'll tell you what, he's a good guy. Huh?
You know that I always laid on wine. And I'm going to tell you tonight, Dan, I was a bit disappointed in Mr. Tancredo.
Oh, over the H.R. 1955?
Over a couple things. I feel Tom went to the edge and stopped several times.
The edge of, go ahead and elaborate.
He is missing his opportunity to gain control in this election. The public at large is just listening and waiting for the truth. Today I figured out why Ron Paul has such support among young people.
It's because he is pulling the gloves off and he's saying exactly what's on his mind.
Whether you like it or not, whether you think he's safe, whether you think he's nuts, whatever you think of him, he is saying what he thinks. I had a conversation with a 24-year-old master's degree in environmental sciences. This young lady, we got into a conversation, she says, "Hey, I'm a liberal." I said, "Cool, I'm a radical right-wing conservative." And so she comes up and she tells me that she really liked her environmental-friendly hybrid car, and I asked her if she had watched the BBC's Great Global Warming Swindle. This young lady turns around and says, yes, I did, and it has ruined my life. So I asked her to elaborate. She says, well, after I figured out that I've been lied to for 8 years of education, I started looking into everything else that I've wondered about in government. And I found out that no matter where I turn, I've been lied to. She says, now I went and I really looked into things. I looked into immigration. I looked into trade. I looked into the war in Iraq, Afghanistan. And she says, I discovered something that I haven't yet dealt with, but it's a fact. She says, I sit before you today. I am a declared liberal. However, I am so far to the right of George Bush and this administration that I can't hardly see them. This is where our candidates like Tancredo are missing the boat.
You know, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. You know what? Do you want my real opinion on that? There's no way, John, that those guys can read all those hundreds and hundreds of pages of bills, and I think they get briefed. And I'm not trying to give him a buy here. Here's where the nut cutting's going to fall. He said that, you know, if that deal comes out of the Senate and it's gaining momentum and it's looking nasty, by God, if it's like it's aimed at the American people and not at the Reconquistas and the Muslims and the Jihad Johnnies, he said he wants all the information you can get. And if when we send him the information then, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, John, until then, because I believe that, bud. I believe a lot of those guys, he's in the middle of a presidential campaign. I know there is no way possible for those guys to be able to read all those bills. And Ron Paul's got a big push out there. Help me, Drew. What is it? It's the big push where they want the legislators to read the entire bill before it's voted on.
Absolutely. That should be the only law that Congress passes next year.
And they say, oh, well, did we ever get anything done? It'd be gridlock. You know, it'd be like trying to take every criminal case to trial in the DA's office. We'd never get caught up. Well, you know what? I think that's what we need, John. We need a shutdown on all these Code of Federal Regulations notices and notice of proposed rulemaking and all these laws that are just coming down the pike. They're making laws so fast now that they're writing the bills after they're voted on.
That is correct.
And that is outrageous.
100% correct.
So, I mean, John, I truly feel like deep down, I just don't see there being a huge conspiracy on the deal. It's possible. I'm just giving my opinion. But where we'll find out where these fellas stand is if it starts coming out of the Senate getting really worked up as though it's aimed at anybody's dog that'll hunt, then, you know, Tancredo's office is going to get every one of my listeners that sends me or emails me, faxes me or whatever, provisions that they're seeing that appear to be unconstitutional or un-American, they'll get pipelined up to his office. And, you know, that's where we're going to really draw the line.
Where he lost me in that argument is he said he didn't think that it went that way. And he went to, I have to have faith that God's going to bring us through this. That immediately put a flag up for me to where I want to sit down with Tom and say, there is a line in this bill that spells it out perfectly. And it's the same old thing. Dan, if you tell me that I have the right...
Hey, we got 1 minute left. Hammer down, buddy.
I have the right to kick in a drug-dealing murderer's door without a warrant, you know that only a drug-dealing murderer's door is going to get kicked down.
Yeah.
How many people, if you give that to... You know for sure that everybody that they don't like is going to get kicked down. It's all a matter of who is in charge of these particular policies
going
to destroy it.
What they're saying is, here's the only reason I'm giving benefit of the doubt. This right now only creates a commission to study it. But I promise you, bud, and I guarantee you, you'll probably be the one calling me before I call you if we start. You'll see it before I do. You will see what's coming down the pike if the Senate starts trying to jam it full of more manure.
Let's not forget that police departments are listing Minutemen as subversive groups and not qualified to be law enforcement.
Well, they're no longer doing it in Las Vegas, buddy. No longer. But the fact that they had it there torques me off. One last thing. You hit it right on the nail, right on the head. Ron Paul's getting a lot of support, especially among the young crowd, because he's seeking and hollering the truth as he sees it. And I'm with you. I think, Tom, I think he needs to let it rip a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's an audience, and it's not being addressed.
Well, John, that's great advice. And by God, I want you to call back again next week, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
We're out of time, and I hate it. I wish I had another hour. But you've been listening to the Outraged Patriots Radio Show. We're live here every Monday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. And remember, folks, no turkeys. But if you ain't legal, you can't.